Hello and welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry, and thanks to yesterday, I'm dead inside. But hey, at least there's Edward. So, Edward, you there?
Yeah, how do you think I feel? I was there last night. Wasting my money! Again!
And the funny thing is we still drew.
Yeah.
But it felt like a loss.
Felt like a loss so badly.
Oh my gosh. All right. Let's go ahead and roll into good and bad and ugly for this Apollon match. Let's go ahead and get that, you know, knocked out. For you, the good.
The good for me, Vlasic, Calvert-Lewin, they played brilliantly. They played really, really good. Changed the game, made it a lot better for us.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
So, I've got three, which is way more than we probably deserve. Mm. Vlasic, Calvert-Lewin. I think if Calvert-Lewin had played longer, he would have scored. I know I'm not sure if you're on board with this, but I think Sigurdsson grew into the second half, and he is continuing to show signs of positivity. But I think there's growth.
That was him playing in the right position.
You know?
I actually think he did really good. I do agree with you. I thought he did really well in the second half. I thought he played a lot better.
So I think we are in agreement, though. The second half far surpassed the first. Mm. So let's roll on to the bad. What do you have bad?
Again, same thing. Koeman being stubborn and not changing the formation to work for the team. And the fact that we need a blind look to basically get a draw. Because if you look at it, first goal was a back pass that went really bad. Second one, I think, was a bit of lucky deflecting for Sigurdsson's assist to Vlasic, which was a very good goal. And then just the fact that we needed to make the substitutes to change the game. That's it.
It's a common theme. I'm starting to see a pattern here. I will agree with you. My bad for this match was Koeman. Starting selection didn't work.
No.
It's that whole, you know, expecting a different result doing the same thing. It's just not
good.
I don't know. I feel like managers that succeed grow. And right now we haven't seen a whole lot of growth. The only growth we see is like he has to literally be in a really bad place. Mm. He has to put us in a really bad place before he's like, okay, let me try these other options just because, you know, why not? And that's what works. And I don't think that's going to really change that much anytime soon. Mm. Sadly. I will say I thought Sigurdsson's assist was really nice, but you were right. The deflection building up to the assist, that was a little bit lucky.
Blind luck, really.
Yeah. So, ugly.
Yeah. Koeman.
Oh, you're back? Are you Koeman again?
Yeah. See, he was the worst one on the night. You can say all you want. See, a lot of people are still saying, yeah, but they're still gelling into the team and they've had about 3 months to gel together. That excuse is really starting to get on my nerves, and it's starting to run out.
Yeah.
And he needs to realise he's running out of games, and he's running out of excuses. He's just running out of time to be able to try all these different things. I mean, we won against Burnley and Sunderland, but that was, again, through the Burnley... Bournemouth... was basically lucky at the fact that we managed to get back into it because of Niasse, but we don't have Niasse for Europe. He needs to realise that what his system doesn't work. Okay, it's not his fault that we lost Lukaku and didn't replace him in the respect that we didn't go straight for someone else. You know, it's the board not bringing in the money. But in all that time, maybe he should have realised I need to try a different style. A different approach, because the way we're doing it at the minute, we need a strong target man, we need a lot of pace, something which we do not have for either. It was obvious.
I mean, right now, I'd say he does make adjustments mid-game, and those adjustments usually help the team.
Mm.
You know, they do. They usually, you know, result in the team being picked up, some sort of spark. It's usually the right move, you know?
Mm.
But the problem is, like you said, why do we have to get in that kind of position for him to do that? You know, I don't know. It's been frustrating to watch. I will agree. Do you have any more ugly?
Not really, no.
All right, I have a couple.
Go on, then.
Number one, I know he's a veteran, and I know he's one of our only healthy center backs, but Williams' mistake
on
that first goal.
I completely forgot about Williams, yeah. Oh, he needs to be out of the team.
And to be fair, there are things he does during a game that are very positive. I don't want to sit there and I always hesitate to pile on the way everybody does. I always find one scapegoat and just pile on them.
Mm.
But Williams deserves a little flack for that goal. He really does, you know? And I can't sugarcoat that. I'm usually a positive guy, but there's really very little I can say on that. And number two, my other ugly, the red card offense was deserving. I thought the guy deserved the red card because he came in and stomped on Calvert-Lewin. That's not nice. And he actually went over, was like trying to make sure he's okay. You always wonder in a situation like that, was it intentional or what? But the problem is it was reckless, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
That's what people lose in these kind of red card offenses. It was reckless. When so many people were talking about, was it Sané's red?
Yeah, Mane. Mane's, yeah.
Mane. Oh,
so
yeah,
the whole
Mane.
Thing.
Say,
the whole thing.
Say Sané? That's ridiculous.
The whole thing, I think, anything is a red card. I think by official books, it's anything that is deemed as foul or dangerous play, so it's going to purposely damage a person and their health, that's when it's a red. Like with the thing, no matter if you say it's intentional or not, if players still do it, it's still a red. It's still dangerous play. Yeah. They shouldn't be doing it in the first place anyway.
Yeah, how can you gauge intention? Do you go over to the player and say, so buddy, did you mean to do that?
Be really awkward if they say, yeah.
Yeah, if they say, oh yeah, and they get a red card, they're like, you know what, I really deserve that red card. No, I mean, you can't gauge intention like that. It's really impossible. So I agree. You have to gauge it another way. I guarantee you, Mane, if you went up to him and said, you know, hey, how'd that happen? He said, I was trying to score a goal.
Yeah,
he was. He's not an idiot. He doesn't come across as an idiot in interviews.
Player.
Yeah, he's really good. And so he made a – it's reckless, though.
Mm.
It's reckless. You're endangering the health of another player. And this guy yesterday, he did that. You know, so yeah, I didn't even see it the first time. I thought the red card was given to the guy who had come up behind him and kind of bumped him. Because it looked like Calvert-Lewin was holding his head. But no, that's – yeah. Clearly after that, after he was on the ground, dude just came in and just – gah. Yeah, just – yeah, that was pretty bad. I was surprised at the red, but then when I saw the replay, I was like, oh, yeah, that should have been.
Mm.
It's funny, the collective sigh of relief that we all breathed when that red card happened. It was like, ah, we got a one-goal lead.
We got against 10 men. No, we're not going to lose this now.
You know what I mean? Not much time left. That game... And tell me if you're with me on this. It's if you disagree, just let me know. But I couldn't help but think of it's the only thing I could think about. That game was like being whisked away in a time machine,
right?
To any number of matches managed by Roberto Martinez. Do you remember how many games we had a lead or we were tied late? We're talking like extra time, you know, right at the very end. Things looked great. And for some reason, the whole team just clenches up their butt cheeks, and the other team finds a way to squeeze one in. And I can't say anything like about how lucky their goal was. their goal, their late goal, their second one, it's a really good flick of the keeper. And I thought it was an own goal at first. When I first saw it, I thought Holgate had flicked it in. I was even angrier. And then when I saw that the guy had literally just gotten slightly over Holgate to flick it over Pickford, I don't know who to blame. You know what
Klaassen.
I mean?
And he's the one that committed the foul, stupidly. In fact, he didn't really have that good of a game, to be honest. He really didn't.
Well, I thought Klaassen played one of his stronger games. And I also really like to see, like, when the guy jumped on top of DCL, I like Klaassen going over to him and giving him flack and giving him crap. You know, I love that. Mm. I like seeing a little snide out of a new player, you know, being protective. Mm. That's awesome. I thought Klaassen played better than he had before. Still, I would have rather kept Davies in.
Yeah. I actually thought Davies had one of his worst games.
I agree with that, too. But the thing is, that should tell you a little bit about how Klaassen's been playing.
Yeah.
I would still rather... I don't know. I think eventually Klaassen's going to get there. We're going to have a player very similar to Davies.
Oh, yeah. It's just he's not sort of with the physicality that's needed at the minute.
It'll get there. I'm not one of those who just, you know...
Instantly piles
sprays
on.
Him up all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get why people are frustrated, because he really never holds the ball and moves the ball up the field. He's immediately one or two touch. And it's something silky and skillful about the way he does it. But he never just takes the ball and moves forward. And a big problem with that is maybe pace. I think he's worried about being caught.
Yeah. Couldn't understand what you mean.
It's the kind of thing that Barkley did really well. He would grab the ball from deep. And instead of immediately one touching to somebody, he would turn and just bump, you know.
Straight away.
All the way down the field. He'd get all the way to box. And we just don't have a lot of that right now.
Nope.
Anyway, familiar feeling. I'm really excited for the time when people start putting on Twitter Everton that, and it's actually like a positive thing.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that day. Sadly, it's not today. So, do you have anything else you want to say about the Apollon?
Nope.
Yeah.
To be honest, let's
leave it behind. Let's leave it behind. All right, so let's do the news. Let's start with something that happened last night, I believe. Edward, do you want to give a little intro to this?
Yeah, it's nothing to do with Everton, but if you haven't heard already, Sergio Aguero was involved in a car crash in Amsterdam. And obviously, it's not his fault. No football fan wants that to happen. And he has actually come away with a fractured rib or a cracked rib, something like that. And he's going to be out for a couple of months. So everyone at Toffee Blues wishes Aguero all the best. And hopefully you can recover soon, mate.
Definitely. So get well soon, Aguero. Okay. So we move past the more serious stuff into... A little bit more. I don't know if this is nonsense or not. We got to figure this out. Koeman has said the problem with Everton is that they are too scared to play forward.
Mm.
So, is this a remnant of the Martinez era, or is this a result of him selecting a team without pace?
I don't know. To be honest, I think it's both. It could be both. It is his fault for team selection, not having the pace in. Sandro was great. He had a lot of pace. It was something we needed. Him and Calvert-Lewin, though, and Vlasic should have been together. Bit more pace in the forward line, because the system he wants to play, he needs a big target man. Could be Calvert-Lewin, but he still needs the pace with him. And saying the two are afraid to play football. They're probably too afraid because they're trying to conserve the energy, like you say. They've not got the pace. So they need to have the energy all game.
I agree. I think it's both. I do. However, I will say that was a very familiar... That first half was very familiar.
Ugh.
All right. We mentioned it earlier in a different video. But yeah. Anyway. I think Koeman's got to shoulder some of that. I can't just blame the players.
No.
You know? All right. So next, after the game, actually, no, it was during the game. Neville Southall tweeted after the Vlasic goal.
Yeah.
Great finish. Amazing what happens when you sprint.
Yeah.
So, my question is Everton lazy?
Well, it's like I was saying, they're just trying to conserve energy because they've got the last two halves. And, okay, I won't blame it all on the manager because we are being dealt very harshly fixture-wise and all that because we've literally played one game the Wednesday, one game the Saturday, one game Thursday, and now we're going to be playing one game on the Sunday as well. So maybe that's something to do with it.
I don't know. I don't know. I think the word lazy is probably not accurate. I can't say that. I think when I watch them play, even when they're losing, I do think they're playing hard. I do think they're trying. I can't say that. Now, do I see that reckless abandon the way I saw Vlasic, you know, using? I mean, Vlasic looked like no one was going to stop him.
Vlasic was
quality. Every single time. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. You see, whenever he's around the ball, he's probably going to win it. You feel it.
Yeah.
You watch him because he's putting in the effort. He's going all out. And I don't know if you always see that. So I don't know. It could be a case of people being afraid to make mistakes.
Mm.
Because Koeman tends to not really be Mr. Relationship with his players, you know, so maybe they're so scared to death to risk
doing it wrong.
And maybe that's a big part of it. Yeah. You know, they don't, I mean, if they risk and they go against what Koeman was drilling them in practice, you know, they're so focused on trying to do things right that they don't take a risk to do anything spectacular.
Don't know.
So, I don't know. All right.
I remember there was a quote on this Nike football ad, which was quite good. There is no greater danger than playing it safe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really, really truthful with that. I believe Ronaldo said that in... not Cristiano, the original, the better Ronaldo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think... It reminds me, it does remind me of later Martinez where people just weren't taking any risks.
No.
No one was trying to take anyone on. It was very much, you receive the ball and you're so scared that someone's going to be right around the corner that you don't turn. You play it backward. That's one of the things they usually teach you is play the way you're facing so you don't turn into trouble. That's true. And I will say, when I watched Sandro cut into the right several times yesterday and get ripped to the ball every time. It was frustrating to watch, to lose possession like that. However, we're talking about a player that's trying to get a shot. He wants to unleash that right foot.
At least he's trying to shoot. At least he's doing
something
different. At least we're trying to shoot and take opportunities now. So that's an improvement, but putting them in the right position.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Anyway, so as usual, as with a lot of these discussion topics, there is no right answer.
No.
But we're chipping away at it. So the last thing, this is another maybe, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but Ireland have called up James McCarthy to their provisional squad because he's healthy-ish now. But he hasn't played a game all season. All right, Koeman has talked about how McCarthy's going to play some under-23 games to try to build up his fitness. But Ireland have called him up. How much do we care right now? How much should we care? Because he's so far from getting a game.
He's still a good player, though. He's still good. And he likes doing that sort of like pressure, winning the ball, get it forward. He is one of those players. So...
Mm-hmm.
If he came back into the side, he's a different option to Schneiderlin and Gay. Gay, though, I thought,
he is.
I think, is still good. Schneiderlin needs to sort of like take a break, I think. Besic, when he came, he was okay. So, but McCarthy coming in could alter and bring something different to the table. We don't know. I still think he's a good player. I think he's a quality player.
When, with McCarthy, usually works where he's hurt, he comes back for one game and plays well.
Mm.
And then he gets hurt in training again, and he's out for another month or two. One of the things about these, I mean, somebody like Gareth Barry, consistency. You know, how consistent has Gareth Barry been?
Oh, by the way, congratulations on holding the all-time Premier League record appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have done that earlier.
Congrats.
Yay. I wish he would have done it with us, but, you know.
Eh. I'm kind of glad he was at another game.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
So, but that's the thing. It would have been, I don't know, moments like when we need to put Schneiderlin on the bench, we need to let Gay take a breather. McCarthy would be valuable. Mm. And sometimes Besic isn't having his best game. I think when he comes back, Koeman is going to play him.
That's
because
if he's
not off for another long
amount of time, thanks to Ireland.
Yeah. Well, I think Koeman likes McCarthy the way he plays.
I think he's seen him play. You can tell. He's seen him do good work.
But usually it has to do with McCarthy wanting to leave or McCarthy being injured or some kind of rift over, you know, Ireland national squad. So I think we're all in agreement. If he was healthy, it'd be great to have him.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's just, when is that
going to happen?
So, yeah. All right. So that's the news. I don't know what that was. That seems more like a little news, like, wow, you know, one of those graphics that hit the news. Mine was kind of some weird
thing.
Alarm bell thing. Yeah. I'll work on it. I'll get something better. I'll practice in front of the mirror. All right. So let's move on to the post, which is what we call it now. Yeah. So... followers and viewers and people out there have sent in discussion topics and questions for us, and we will read them and answer and discuss them. So we're going to start off with a familiar name, the man with three first names. That's right. We're talking about Douglas Elliott Matthew. He contributed earlier. He's contributing again. I like this. It's a good thing. Yeah, heart with hand. So, his question is, if we sack Koeman, who would you bring in to replace him?
So that is a very good question. I was actually talking about that earlier today. For me, I think West Ham are being linked with these two. So I think, personally, if we went in for them, we'd have a lot more sort of, like, chance of them coming to us. They are Thomas Tuchel, who came from Dortmund, currently out of a job at the minute. He did leave. And Carlo Ancelotti.
Mm.
See, I think Ancelotti would be brilliant for us. He's got the experience, but he's also got the winning mentality. But he knows how the Premier League works. He knows how to play the team. And I think with our kind of team, he could do some real good with it.
I think those are both great managers. Those are great managers. I'm gonna go with a less sexy option.
Okay.
A less European option.
Okay.
I want to give Unsworth a chance.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. I'd say Unsworth definitely deserves a go.
You know? I just want to, and to start, because it's not the sexy choice, because it's in-house. Everybody always wants to get someone from afar, and a lot of times that's a good option, because you mentioned two, like, really quality managers. The fact is, look at the amazing work he's done with the U23s, and he totally gets Everton. He understands it. He is, I don't know, the one game he managed after Martinez left, I mean, how, you know, we look good. And he's not afraid to play some of these younger players because he's worked with them a lot. He trusts them.
Mm.
And that's the thing with Koeman, is these younger players have to earn his trust. So I would go with him, and I would start off by calling him caretaker manager, just so the fans are you know, not super like, oh, I wanted somebody, you know, amazing who won Champions League, you know. just so they realize, like, hey, let's give him time to kind of see how he does.
Mm.
You know? I think we could have a really good year with him. And it would, and there'd be, it'd be a seamless transition, mm. I think. But I don't know if it's likely yet. I think eventually he will be Everton manager. I just don't know if they'll give it to him yet. You know what I mean? Mm. So, and to be fair, I still think that Koeman's going to last the season. I don't think he's going to get sacked this season. I actually think he's going to turn things around a bit. It's just taking him a while. Like I said, his second half of seasons is usually better than his first. So
we'll see.
Yeah. So let's move. Jason F. Bland. I have no idea what the F stands for. But Jason F. Bland stands for... Yeah, well, yeah, no idea. So Jason F. Bland says, stop playing Rooney. I bet we'd play better without him. What do you think, Edward?
He's got a point. Bournemouth game, we played a lot better. And I think if we didn't sub Rooney off, we would have lost. Sounds harsh, but... I actually thought he was one of our best players last night. I thought he was really good. But he's just not up for it. He's up for it. He's just... His body's not up for it, in a sense.
I'm on the fence about this, all right? Because when we brought in, when we made those subs yesterday, we took out Gay and brought in Vlasic, all right, who made a huge difference. Brought in Calvert-Lewin as well. Rooney stayed out there. Because I was thinking he was going to sub Rooney and keep Sandro in and have Sandro and Calvert-Lewin all play together. Anyway, when he brought in those players, we looked good.
Mm.
We looked good and we looked like we're going to score. And Rooney was in. All right. However, do I think we would do well to have a little bit more pace in the squad if Rooney wasn't in? Yeah. I think there's certain games where Rooney in the squad works, and there's certain games where, you know, maybe we need a Nias. You know, maybe we're going to need to play Sandro and Calvert-Lewin together. Eventually, Sandro's going to get up to speed. Yep. No doubt in my mind. All right. So we're going to have more depth. So Rooney's just going to need to rest some. He's not 16 anymore. You know? So he's just going to need some rest. Let's just, you know, rotate him some and not tell him, "Hey, it's about form. We're struggling with you in." Tell him it's tactical.
Mm.
You know, cuz it is tactical. Sometimes we're going to need, you know,
Nias
type of, you know, better players. Again, you know, with Rooney's brain and his control and his passing, he gives us something that Nias doesn't, because Nias doesn't have those things, really. But Nias has something that Rooney doesn't have. So it's just like, it's just pieces. When do you need those pieces?
Mm.
You know? All right. Next question comes from Reese SMC. Okay? RHYSSMC. Reese SMC. Again, I don't know what all those stand for, you know, and I'm really not clever enough to come up with a bunch of words on the fly. So, Reese SMC asks, should we play Calvert-Lewin instead of Sandro? I think we should.
No.
That's what Reese says. What do you say?
No. When Sandro and Vlasic and Calvert-Lewin all played together in the Sunderland game, they were brilliant. So... I think Sandro does need to play. I think he's good. I think he's a really good talent. I think at the minute maybe don't play him as much because he's not used to the league. Mm-hmm. Maybe give him a couple of games in the under-23s, sort of like, so that he can sort of acclimatise himself. But okay. I think, I personally don't see him as a striker. I see him as more as a winger.
Who, Sandro?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
he's got that quality.
Sees him more as a winger. Yeah, I think Koeman's like you, sees him as a winger. I don't know. I see him as the best way we can use him is as a second striker.
Yeah.
You know, playing off that other striker, I feel like that's where we're going to see the best of him. He needs to be in a position to be able to take quick shots. You know, he has such a strong leg. Both his left and his right are strong. He's just, so many times he gets the ball and he's so far away from the box, he's not in a position to score.
No.
He's having to drop so far back. But I agree, Calvert-Lewin, I think if it's a choice, if it's a situation where the situation that Reese poses here, Calvert-Lewin or Sandro, I would play Calvert-Lewin right now. Because he's more acclimatized to the league. But again, I'm big on situational substitutions. You know, if it's a European match, I thought starting Sandro was a good idea last night because Calvert-Lewin had played most of the other game, and he's probably going to play against Burnley.
Yeah.
So make sure he's still young. Koeman likes to say he likes to protect the young players, and I agree that's a good idea. You know, so rotating is good. But yeah, I think we both agree. If it's an either-or thing, right now, Calvert-Lewin, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, so Everton.fan, and there's no name attached. So I'm going to call Everton.fan. I'm going to say that this is Steve.
Steve.
Okay? Steve.
Steve.
Everton.fan, if that's not your name, sorry.
I apologize.
And if it is your name, then I am clairvoyant, and that's amazing. So the Everton.fan Steve says, try to talk about the atmosphere in Goodison. Booing them doesn't help. We need to be singing for 90 minutes and getting behind them. Okay? This is a contentious point because I feel like half of people agree with this and half of people disagree. What do you think, Edward, as someone who goes the game frequently?
See, I personally think you have to boo. You have to boo players when they're not playing well, because then that sort of gets them thinking, oh gosh, we're doing badly, we need to improve this, otherwise the crowd are not going to get behind us. I can understand why he said it, because it makes sense. It gives them the extra motivation if the crowd's behind them all the time, but yesterday the crowd were behind the team so many times, but yet they weren't doing anything, so are you going to tell a load of fans that have been singing their name a couple of times, try and get them motivated, when they start booing them, they're wrong to do that? You know, are they wrong to boo them when... Because, I mean, they're disagreeing with how they're playing. That's how they're going to have to say it. They can't say anything else because they're not going to get heard otherwise. Booing is the only way that sort of communicates from everyone saying, you're playing bad, please improve. That's how I see it.
I agree to a certain extent. I think both the team, managers, all of that, and the people in the stands, everybody has a mutual responsibility. Okay? They work together. All right? If the team has a new manager, new system, and all that stuff, there's a mutual responsibility there, because the fans have to show some enthusiasm to try to give the team some hope. I think that needs to happen. Additionally, though, the team is responsible to put in maximum effort to get the people off their feet, you know, on their feet, to get them singing.
Mm.
You know, and so right now, you know, as a person who watches things on TV, all right, correct me if I'm wrong here, because you probably will. But it seems to me like Goodison is kind of a quiet place these days. It comes across quiet. And there's not a whole lot of enthusiasm to begin the games. Usually if we score or if we have some seriously good play, then we get into it. It's kind of a prove it to me kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then there's the team who sometimes doesn't look very inspired, and they have the a lineup that also isn't giving anybody confidence. So it's right now it seems like it's both.
Mm.
You know, I agree. I've never booed anything in my life just because I think it's a ridiculous noise. You know, it just makes it, when you boo, you just sound ridiculous. It just sounds, you know, but I agree with the principle of it. I think people have paid their money. When they pay their money and they drop a big portion of their paycheck to be a season ticket holder, they've earned the right to boo.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
So, Everton.fan, we agree with what you're saying. Sort of.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'd go with that.
And I personally would never... I'm not a Boo guy, you know? I would agree with you, but I think if we're talking about everyone, it's just a broader picture. All right? So, next. JP Mekelleni. I don't know. It's again. I'm butchering.
JP Mekelleni.
Mekelleni. Yeah, I thought it sounded right. Anyway, here's a simpler way to say this person's name, A.K.A. Maka. Okay.
Yeah.
That's simpler. Maka asks, "Why won't Koeman play Holgate and Keane?" I think this is a quick answer. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to start? Or you want me to?
You can start.
All right. Right now, there's an obvious reason. Because Keane is injured. Obvious reason. However, bigger picture. Why hasn't he started? It's because Koeman likes experience. Koeman, if he's got Jags and if he's got Williams, he starts those players. And for some reason, when they make mistakes, he only shifts them out for each other.
Yeah.
He doesn't think Holgate is ready to play center back. And the only reason he's doing it right now is out of necessity.
I think, to be honest as well, I think that's really only his second or third game as centre-back in a two-man partnership for Everton. So he's got to get experience. So I can understand why Holgate's not being played with Keane at the same time. Because really the only experience they've got together is Holgate as right-back. So that's probably one of the reasons why, obviously, you've said Keane is injured. But I think you've got to give it until... probably January-ish, Maka. I think, give it until January, and I think Keane and Holgate will probably be playing together.
I hope. I mean, like I said before, I'm a situational guy, so I think quicker teams with more pace up front that don't have a big target man to kind of to finish dead balls, you know, we play Holgate against those quicker teams because he's faster.
Mm.
You know, I think that's where you play him. I think you do it situationally. Make him part of the rotation. Don't just play him when he's your only option because that drains his confidence. You know, I don't know. I would like to see it. I've been asking for it all season, but I also don't think he's ready to play game in, game out at that position. He's not.
No.
It's a tougher position to play than right back. It just is. All right, last question. Dave Wynn. Wynn right now. Ha! Not spelled the same as Wynn. W-Y-N-N-E. Dave Wynn asks, where do you reckon Koeman will go on holiday next week?
Straight out of England.
Straight out of England, so.
Yeah. Anywhere else. Anywhere outside of the UK, he'll go. Just as far as away. As possible.
Anything.
Maybe Netherlands. Maybe he'll go back to the Netherlands. He'll get his confidence again there.
Would make sense. Anything to escape the situation and kind of get away from the bad vibes.
Yeah.
I am going to say a very North Carolina's response. I'm going to say where everybody around here goes on vacation, Myrtle Beach. South Carolina. He's going to fly across the Atlantic, and he's going to go to Myrtle Beach.
Is that you hoping?
And he, yeah, I think, you know, why not? Why not? Go to Myrtle Beach, you know? The pavilion's not really there anymore, but, you know, if it were, you could ride the rides. He could play some golf. He might see me there, you know?
Mr. Coleman!
We could go for a jog together, you know? So, yeah, you're saying the Netherlands, I'm saying Myrtle Beach. Let's do that, all right?
Fair enough.
So, that is the post. We've already done the news. Thanks to everyone for your questions. We think you're stupendous. If any of you ever find yourself in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, I'll buy you a pint. Or
if they're legally
a
allowed
12-ounce... Yes. Or actually, here they don't pour beer in pints. They pour 12-ounce beers... because Americans never pour pints, and it's ruining our country. Sunday, Edward, Everton play Burnley.
Indeed, they do.
So, do you have any gut reaction about how that's gonna how you're feeling about that right now?
We play the same formation we have been for the past couple of weeks with three number tens. We will draw or lose. If we play something different,
understood.
We play Vlasic, we play Sandro, we play Calvert-Lewin, the three of them together, as well as Niasse. So a bit of a 4-4-2 going on. We'll win comfortably. That's my opinion anyway.
Okay.
Because I think that's going to be the best approach for a team that's going to be sitting back all the time.
Right on. So, let's... I'll give you a little... I got a little blurb here about Burnley I'll rattle off. What we should expect from them. They're currently 2-3-1 in the Prem this season.
Mm.
They're sitting in, like, 8th or 9th. I think it's 9th on goal differential, but they easily could be an 8th. They beat Chelsea and Palace. They drew Spurs, Liverpool, and Huddersfield, and their only loss was at West Brom.
Mm.
They have played a tough schedule, and they're still doing fine. They're riding a lot of confidence right now, and since we're not, this is a really crap time to play them. I think, you know, if you want to hear, this is for the audience, if you want to hear more in-depth analysis of Burnley's squad this year, check out Toffee Blue Opposition View, where I've had a chat with Tyrone Marshall. He's the Burnley FC reporter for the Lancashire Telegraph. Honestly learned a lot about Burnley talking to Tyrone. And some of the things he told me was Dangerman for this game. I think we need to look out for Wood, and who will probably start, and Vokes, who when he comes in, and Defoe and Cork are also pretty strong right now.
Yeah.
All right. Injuries wise for Everton, I think we're looking at Jags and Keane, possibly.
Not good. Not good.
I know earlier. Earlier, Koeman said they're going to have a fitness test, and he said he's hoping for good news on Saturday. So let's hope. It'd be great to have either one of them, you know, and it'd be really cool for Keane to play against his former team. I think that'd be a nice thing for him. So right now, Koeman's squad. Get your brain inside of Koeman's brain. Do a mind meld. If you're into Star Trek, what is Koeman going to do squad-wise, maybe formation-wise?
He's going to do... what's he going to do? He's going to go 3... Ooh. If he's smart... See, I think he's going to stay with the same goalkeeper, same back four, that's obvious. I personally hope he'll go Gay, Davies and Sigurdsson in front of them, and then the wingers, what I want, so same back four, same goalkeeper, that's fine. Obviously don't want Williams, but we'll leave that. Then four in front of them, left mid either Vlasic or Sandro, and then right mid either Vlasic or Sandro, so both of those on the wings. Centre mids, Davies I want to have another go, or Sigurdsson. Davies or Sigurdsson. Gay or Schneiderlin. Not both. And then up front, Calvert-Lewin, Niasse.
Make your pick between Davies or Sigurdsson.
Sigurdsson.
Okay, and make your pick between Niasse or Calvert-Lewin.
Oh, no, it's both of them up front, and then Schneiderlin. Or Gay. So it's Gay. Gay and Sigurdsson.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, there you go. I'm thinking a lot of similar things, just not the exact same thing. I'm thinking, like you said, Pickford, but I actually think he's going to start Martina. just because if Martina plays the way he did against Man United, he'll be fine. If he plays the way he did in any other game, then it may not be good. But I think he's going to start Martina. I think he's going to, you know, Holgate and Williams, obviously, and Baines. I think Schneiderlin is going to get another start. But I also think that Koeman saw something by putting in Vlasic for Gay. Koeman said he subbed Gay out because he was one of those people who was having trouble on the ball. And he also said that Vlasic gave a huge spark, and he calls us to play football. So I think he's going to start Vlasic.
Mm.
Okay, I don't think he's going to roll with the two deep-lying mids again. So Schneiderlin, Vlasic, and I think Davies will be in there. And I think Sigurdsson, I think Rooney and Calvert-Lewin. Do I want Rooney to start? No, but this is what I think Koeman's going to do. All right?
Mm.
I think Rooney could do with a bit of a rest. But I also saw in the second half how we played. That second half where we had a flurry of chances, Rooney was in the game. So I think he's still going to go with Rooney. I just think he's going to. So Pickford, Martina, Holgate, Williams, Baines, Schneiderlin, Vlasic, Sigurdsson, Davies, Rooney, Calvert-Lewin. There. So for you, you kind of gave us a preview of your predictions earlier.
Mm.
Narrow it down to one body part, either your brain or your heart.
Heart.
What's the score?
3-1.
3-1. Who scores?
Niasse hat-trick. I'm going to go for it. Niasse hat-trick. He scored one in the League Cup, scored two in the Premier League, so why not three and a hat?
Yeah.
Have a hat-trick. That'd just awesome. So then he can get a team of the week and then I can get him on FIFA.
I'm actually thinking it's going to be a 1-1 draw, and I think Calvert-Lewin is due. He's had plenty of chances lately, hasn't done a tremendous amount of scoring. He hasn't finished the ones that I think he's going to get one this time. I think Nias will play. I think he'll come in the second half. I think that Koeman sees him as energy off the bench.
Mm.
I think because – and I might agree with him, just the idea of starting – Nias from an even playing field in terms of everybody is fresh to start the game. When he puts Nias in the second half, he's got fresh legs and he's energy and he's pace and he's got more to burn than the other in the opposition.
Yeah,
you know,
makes sense. So, makes sense.
So yeah, you're saying 3-1 Nias hat trick. I'm saying 1-1 draw. Calvert-Lewin goal. I'm being more negative than usual because, I don't know. I think because Burnley's riding some confidence and we need to gain some.
Mm.
So, you're not going to see me doing that often. I'm normally like, Blues win! But I don't know.
We'll see.
I've got belief in the team, but I also know we're playing against a team that's playing well. And they're not even playing the same style that they played last year. Mm. You know? Burnley's playing a lot more football this year. You know, they're trying to possess the ball more. You know, they're trying to play to feet more. That's what Tyrone was saying. So, I don't know. I think Burnley's a little bit of a different team this season, and they've been playing really well away.
Hmm.
So, are you okay?
Yeah. Just swatting a fly.
All right. So that's why people dab. All right. So... That is the end. We have come to the end. We have covered everything. So now that we have finished, if you're liking this thing we do, please subscribe, like, leave comments. It is our lifeblood. All right, Edward, do you want to plug your channel?
Yeah. Obviously, if you enjoy FIFA content, if you enjoy stuff with Everton, if you enjoy matchday vlogs, come check out my channel, Jammy James. It's a bit of fun. FIFA 18 has just come out today as we are recording this, so I'm going to be doing a lot of FIFA 18 content. Plus, I'm planning to do a Road to Glory, in which I've got a couple of options for players who I think I might choose. You're the ones that are going to be choosing them. But we'll see. So yeah, come check it out if you do enjoy that kind of thing. And yeah, thanks for watching.
Awesome. Yeah. We've got more stuff. More things to talk about. Social media for the Toffee Blues. Check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter. All right, they're there. Big following. All right, Twitter. Check them out on Facebook. Another big following. Instagram and Plutal, which doesn't exist, but it damn well should. All right. So they also have a website that churns out blogs galore, lots of content. It's good stuff. Just do it. So that's been our show. We're gonna start. So let me do that again. So that's been our show. We're gonna stop recording now. We're out.
Adios.